News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Good morning. You're listening to Paul Williams and Shane Coleman on this Thursday, May the 24th, which means it's only one day to the polls open in one of the most keenly contested and divisive referendums in years, probably since the first abortion referendum in 1983, which I am old enough to remember. The tone has been harsh at times, but this morning News Talk Breakfast is bringing you clear, independent information and one of the last debates on the airways before the moratorium kicks in at 2 o'clock today. Now, as you probably know at this stage, the electorate is being asked if they wish to repeal Article 40.3.3, you know it as the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, and instead insert a replacement text which will read, provision may be made by law for the regulation of termination of pregnancy. In effect, that means it'll be the job of the Dáil to legislate in the area of abortion if this referendum is passed. A heads of bill has been prepared, so we know what the government is proposing to do in the case for yes vote. That bill allows for abortion on request up to 12 weeks. After that point, abortion will only be allowed if there's a risk of serious harm to the health of the mother. Now, let's turn to our debate on this vote. Joining us in studio, we have Cora Sherlock, spokesperson for the Love Boat campaign, and Alva Smith, coordinator for the Together for Yes campaign. Now, to get started, you're both very welcome. We've asked you to prepare an opening statement of just 90 seconds, and then we'll debate the various issues. Alva Smith from Together for Yes, your 90 seconds.
Thank you. Well, I'm asking the people of Ireland to vote yes tomorrow on the 25th of May, because I believe this is truly a once in a generation opportunity for us to remove from the Constitution a clause, an amendment, which has really caused huge distress and suffering and difficulty and problems endlessly for women, which is so important, and which also has been a source of great confusion legally, as case after case has been trailed through our courts, and which has also, obviously, as we've heard from gynaecologists and obstetricians and doctors over the past few weeks, really a source of great uncertainty. And also, they believe it constitutes a very serious risk to women's lives and health. I think that what we're voting about tomorrow, what we're really voting on, is making sure that women can get the kind of care that they need here at home in Ireland. We've been exporting, I'm sorry to use the word, but it is true, we have been exporting women. We've been saying to women now for 35 years, you have a right to an abortion, but you have to have it somewhere else. You can't have it here. You have to travel, whatever your circumstances. Even if you've been raped, if you have a fatal fetal anomaly, if your health is in danger. Now is truly our chance to say to women, all of us together, women's lives matter, women's health matters. It's time for us now to put in place the kind of services that women both need and deserve.
Okay, thank you indeed, Alva Smith. Cora Sherlock of the Love Boat campaign, your 90 seconds.
Good morning. The vote on Friday is not about abortion in limited circumstances. It's not a referendum about abortion in tragic cases. This is about one thing and one thing only. It's about abortion on demand. A vote for repeal would allow abortion up to 12 weeks. That's at a stage when a baby has a beating heart, eyes, ears, a nose, a mouth. That baby has vital organs. She or he is kicking and yawning in the womb. She has fingernails that are growing. This is not a clump of cells, and we cannot close our eyes to that reality. A vote for repeal would remove constitutional protection from every unborn baby in Ireland. This proposal is more extreme than the law in Britain, where one in five pregnancies ends in abortion. Our abortion laws would become one of the most extreme and least restrictive laws in Europe. The only way to keep abortion on demand out of Ireland is to vote no. A vote for repeal would hand a blank check to the government to make whatever abortion laws they want. They would never again have to come back to the people. The political party People Before Profit have already said that they will only support the government's abortion on demand laws for 5 years, and after that they will push for even more radical laws. This morning we read in the newspapers that the government will try to pass a law on abortion before the end of the year if repeal passes. That means that we could have laws allowing for abortion on demand before the end of the year. Women like Mary Kenny and Emma Maloney say that Ireland's pro-life culture is the reason why they didn't have an abortion.
Okay. Okay, thank you indeed for that, Cora Sherlock. Okay, let's tease out some of the issues. Alva Smith, I might start with you. A lot of people I've spoken to on this issue are deeply, deeply conflicted on this. They're hugely sympathetic in terms of the hard cases and even the not so hard cases, if I can use that term. They are struggling, though, with the idea of an unrestricted access to unrestricted termination up to 12 weeks. What would you say to those people?
Well, first of all, I think I would say that, you know, I understand, as I think we all do, that this is actually a very challenging issue for people. And I think one of the most interesting things about this whole referendum campaign is that, in fact, people have been having conversations which you might say are really ethical conversations. They're conversations about ethics as well as actually what happens to women. So I think we do, all of us, understand that. But it's also true that I think one of the wonderful things that has emerged is that people's understanding and awareness of women's real experiences when they have, for example, a diagnosis of fatal fetal anomaly, or when
there is other something
difficult in a woman's life, that this does mean that the kind of duress that she's under making her travel is really very difficult. And our experience on the doorsteps talking with people over the past several weeks has been that actually once you have that conversation with people, they understand that having that period in early pregnancy, when you say, look, you will get the support and the help and the advice and so on that you need here in Ireland under a very carefully regulated system, that I think is something which people are understanding. They're understanding why that's important. And let me emphasise, just to pick up on something that Cora mentioned in her presentation, this is a highly regulated and indeed in European terms quite restrictive system that's being proposed by government at the moment. And I think that we really need to be very clear about that. That period of 12 weeks in early pregnancy, there is a waiting period, for example, of 3 days when a woman goes to see her doctor, and she must do that. This is under direct medical supervision. A woman must go to her doctor. She will have to a period. There will be a period.
Is that something you support, or is that something that the yes side has had to accept?
No, I actually support the system as, you know,
that
government
that's
fine. Is proposing.
Cora Sherlock, to bring you in, let's, I suppose, again, middle ground voters, they're saying, you know what, maybe I agree with some aspects of the No campaign, but what I can't stand over is the idea of women who are raped, or women who are carrying babies that will not survive outside the womb. I can't stand over the idea of forcing those women to travel to the UK for an abortion. What do you say to those voters?
Well, firstly, Shane, I think I want to talk about the 12 weeks, because that's what you asked Alva about.
Well, I ask Alva about that. I'd like to ask you about this issue, and then we can come back to the 12 weeks.
Well, sure. I mean, I think that you're right. People are very conflicted about those kind of tragic cases that you're talking about. I wish, as I have said, that those cases had not been put into this discussion, because this is a discussion about abortion on demand. And I very firmly believe that a woman or a family that are told that their baby may not live for very long deserve to be given the time and space to be considered in a way and talked about in a way that doesn't involve the kind of abortion on demand that we all know this turns into. This is about one thing and one thing only, about abortion on demand. And I know that there are people out there who feel that maybe they should vote for repeal for those families. But what I would say to them is to listen to the fact that the Minister for Health has never met both sides of that discussion. He's never met families who say, you know, we were told that our baby would not survive. People like the McBreen family from Cavan, who were told that their little girl, Grace, would definitely not survive. They were told, go and pick out a cemetery plot for your little girl. He's never met them to hear their side of the debate. So how can he put forward a proposal like this that is supposed to cater for those families when he's never listened to them? That's the only thing that's coming from this government is abortion on demand. That's the only answer. And in fairness, I think that we should be looking at things like, for example, initiatives that have grown up in this country because of the failure of the government to do anything, like Hughes House. That's something that was put together by Aidy Stack, who experienced that type of situation, which is a home for home for families whose babies are receiving treatment when they have a life-limiting condition.
Okay, Alva, on that point, the basic point is, and some people, middle ground voters are saying this as well, it's too unrestrictive what's being proposed here.
Well, the whole system is in fact regulated. There is a period of 12 weeks on request, followed by the possibility of abortion, the need for abortion when a woman's health is in danger. But what I want to say is that what fundamentally I think this whole referendum is about, it is actually about women's lives, women's health, and it is about women's safety. And at the moment, we know that there are risks to women's health. We know that there
are... That's not
true. Women are in great distress. I mean, when I think, you know, when I look back over the years and I think of all of the women that I have met and talked with and been with who have had to go to Britain, often in very extremely difficult circumstances, to have the kind of care, to have the kind of support in another country, when what we should be doing is saying to women in vulnerable crisis situations, you are entitled to that care. It is about your dignity. Okay. It is about your equality.
So far, I've seen that Alva has not been able to address the fact that this is about ending the lives of babies up to 12 weeks for any reason when that baby is formed. Nothing else is added to the baby at that stage. The baby just has to be left, looked after and allowed to grow and allowed to have the right to life that we all enjoyed. But I want to pick up, Alva, on a couple of things. Firstly, the idea that this is regulated. Regulated is not the same as restrictive. This is not restrictive. It is more extreme than the law in the UK. In Britain, there is no provision for abortion for any reason. In Britain, 1 in 5 pregnancies ends in abortion. There are 200,000 abortions every year. 90% of babies diagnosed with Down syndrome end in abortions. I know that people out there, from what I'm meeting people on the doorsteps, Shane, they're saying we are fearful of becoming like Britain. And they're right, because that is what has happened. The European average is 1 in 5 pregnancies. But can I just say, there's a lot of scaremongering from the other side, Shane, particularly around the area of women's health and safety of women. I'm a woman, and if I felt that women in Ireland were at any risk, then I would not be involved. Okay. I've listened to the reassurance
Let's go
from doctors,
to your point.
Which I do want
Let's
to talk
go to
about.
The point about what's happening in
well,
UK. And the argument, just let me put the question to you first, Alva. The argument is, in the UK, 97% of abortions take place on the grounds of the mental health of a mother. And this issue of beyond 12 weeks, people are concerned. Yeah, the government are saying that this will be strictly regulated, but that's what people were told in Britain in 1967.
Our legislation is not like the British legislation. It is very certainly similar. In line, and it's on the Conservative end, by the way, contrary to what Cora said. It's on the Conservative end of European, broad-based European legislation on abortion. So it is a very different kettle of fish. And let me point out something that we have pointed out throughout this debate, that Ireland is not the UK. Although the interesting thing is that we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem constitutionally because women have a guaranteed right to travel for an abortion to Britain. We don't have a problem in really abandoning women here and actually sending them to Britain for abortions.
I do have a problem with that.
We are not that. We are Ireland. And I want to say very directly to Cora and to others who oppose repeal of the Eighth Amendment, what would you do? What would you do when a woman who is pregnant as a result of rape would like to terminate that pregnancy? What would you do about that? What do you propose to do realistically about women and couples who have had
let
a
Cora,
fatal
let Cora
what would
answer
you
that
do
question.
About a woman whose health is in danger?
Okay, Cora.
They have absolutely
okay, no, you've
no
asked
solutions.
The question. Let Cora answer.
You know, Alva, what I would say to you is I cannot be a hypocrite. I cannot say when I believe abortion, from all of the experience that I've had of meeting women who've had abortions and who've suffered, and meeting women who've said, I've been through that tough case that you're talking about, and here is my child. My child, having a child was the thing that got me through it. People like Shauna Pruitt, who became pregnant after sexual assault, and who said that the first time that she could see a way forward for herself, a future for herself, was when she saw the ultrasound of her baby beating and she realised that there was somebody there that was in that with her. We can't discount those women, Alva. And I want to know how you feel about women like Emma Beck.
Well, you know, first of all, I would say
I'd like to know how you feel about Emma Beck.
Okay, Cora, you've asked a question.
I want to say to you that I think it is truly a bit rich to hear no advocates speak about hypocrisy, because, of course, the huge hypocrisy that we are all aware of now in Ireland, the huge hypocrisy is that we actually keep saying that. And we've been saying it since 1983, that there is nothing wrong with abortion provided it happens in the UK. And that, I think, is the lie that is at the heart
of this. That's not true.
And this is now really such an important opportunity for us here,
Cora,
in
just
Ireland,
very briefly, and then we need to go to our
closing
statement on that.
Emma,
the hypocrisy, Alva says, at the heart of the No campaign.
Okay, Alva clearly doesn't know who Emma Beck is, which is not surprising, because many of those campaigning for Yes ignore the fact that women are affected negatively by abortion. Emma Beck was a young woman who became pregnant and she aborted twins after her abortion. She deeply regretted it. She specified in her suicide note, because she ended her own life afterwards, and she said, "I see now that I would have been a good mother. I want to be with my babies.
Okay,
they
The coroner in her case said it was clear that
abortion would have a serious effect on women.
We are not going to
hear women like her
influenced
or shown in any way by the Yes campaign. They talk about trusting women, Shane, but they ignore the fact that women should be told what happens to their baby during an abortion.
You didn't answer the question, though, about the hypocrisy, as Alva put it.
Sure. I mean, there is no hypocrisy here. I don't agree with abortion. I believe abortion ends the life. But I wish that we had had these kind of discussions in the Oireachtas Committee, talking about how we could encourage women and find the supports for them to keep their babies.
Unfortunately, we do have to move to our closing statements. Alva Smith, you have 60 seconds to make your pitch, I suppose, to the Irish people.
Well, I think we've heard many discussions and arguments over the past several weeks. And I do hope that the voters, the people of Ireland, have been, able to understand just how important it is for us to repeal the Eighth Amendment, because, it really matters. It really matters to women. I'm thinking of the women getting up this morning, maybe at 6 o'clock, to go on a Ryanair flight to have an abortion in England, which, quite honestly, should be happening here. They should be just embraced by us here and looked after and taken care of and given all the support that they need here in this country. And it makes me weep when I think about it. And I've been doing, working on this issue now since 1983, since before 1983. And I just think it has come to the time when we need that honesty and that truth for ourselves, for women, for men and women in this country, for the kind of country we live in and the kind of country that we want to raise our kids. And for me, that I want to see my grandchildren, my little granddaughter, being safe and healthy and well and respected.
Okay, Cora Sherlock, your 60 seconds.
Tomorrow's vote is about abortion on demand. A vote for repeal would introduce abortion on demand. We know what the government and other parties want to do. They want to increase it even further. The only way to stop that is to vote no. There is no need to be afraid from the scaremongering that has come from the Yes campaign. Leading doctors in Ireland have said that this vote is not about, and it has never been about, maternal health care. It is about ending the life of a perfectly healthy growing baby in a perfectly healthy pregnant woman. Do not be afraid of that. Another doctor said the medical needs of the mother do not require removal of the Eighth Amendment. Hold on to that, because the facts are that Ireland is a world leader when it comes to protecting women in pregnancy. When it comes to looking after women and figuring out how they can continue with their pregnancy, that's what we should be doing. This presents two visions to us, a vision of abortion on demand or a vision where we continue as the life-saving country that we are. If we vote for repeal tomorrow, we will have more abortions, we will lose more babies, we will have more women who are suffering. Vote no to abortion on demand and insist that the government does something better for women and babies and men in Ireland. Vote no.
OK, you have heard the arguments. We are now, what, about 5.5 hours away from the moratorium. It's a hugely, hugely complex issue. It's a hugely important issue. It is down to you, the voters, now from tomorrow morning. My thanks to Cora Sherlock from the Love Boat campaign and to Alva Smith, coordinator of the Together for Yes campaign.
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.